Your guide to Merseyside sport. The kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
Let's talk footy and go through the FA Cup, in particular Liverpool's defeat to West Brom, and catch up with Alan Irwin, who was there interviewing Jurgen afterwards. Morning to you, Al.
Morning, Steve.
Oh, that must have been an absolutely insightful interview.
Well, the VAR made my job very easy, didn't it, really? Once we got to half-time, I was just talking to other journalists who were taking the mickey out of me, saying, oh, you've got a nice job later on. I said, well, it's just been made absolutely simplistic. I only have to use three letters, and off you go. Alan Pardew and Jurgen Klopp were both there and happy to espouse their views on the system.
We heard a bit of Jurgen about 10 minutes ago on the news. He seems quite happy with the system and is comfortable with the fact that it will take some time to get it perfectly right.
I think most managers will have to say that, Steve, initially, because they quite often, at the end of a game, will be interviewed quickly in the flash areas by you know, reporters immediately after the game, and they're quite heated at the time. They haven't let the whole game sink in, and then they'll come into a press conference area some 20 minutes later, a little more considered. But invariably, they are still castigating referees, bemoaning decisions that have gone against their side, stating we wouldn't have lost the game but for this, but for that, invariably down to a refereeing decision. So I think Jurgen Klopp was quite considered himself on Saturday evening when he stated, well, every decision that they arrived at, he believed was correct. So if that's what we want in football, then we should be happy. I think the situation that managers have got to get to grips with, and fans initially, is the timescales, and it's something that's got to be looked at in the system, which is only a trial period at the moment as well.
Well, we weren't sat next to each other. We weren't too far away, but let's face it. And
it was chaos.
The whole row, it was. It was a bit of a pantomime, wasn't it, within all around the crowd. You could just see everyone having a laugh with each other, saying there's something not right here. This isn't a football match.
Yeah, it was very strange, and I felt for the fans. I mean, you know where I was sitting in the press box area, Steve, where you have, and every Premier League club has to supply TV replays available for the journalists and broadcasters. It is one of the Premier League rules. So, you know, we're in the privileged position of being able to monitor replays immediately and access the live TV coverage, so to speak. So we're seeing those TV replays that are broadcast, and we're also able to see the blue lines that are painted on the pitch after the decision has been made, and they've showed you why the West Bromwich Albion goal was ruled out, for example, for that Gareth Barry offside, which I'm sure everybody in the crowd thought was for a foul on Firmino. There was total confusion, and the fans behind me, because I was on the back row of the press box, were anxious to get a view of the TV replays themselves. I think the system needs refining in terms of communication. I think Alan Pardew referred to three other letters on Saturday, NFL. It became very much, you know, American football-like, didn't it, with stoppages and starts. The game was interrupted. The whole flow had gone from a match that had three goals inside the opening 12 minutes or something. But suddenly it was stagnated in the fact that, you know, we had three, four-minute stoppages at times, and then the bizarre situation of only 4 minutes of stoppage time when the Mo Salah penalty incident had taken almost 5 minutes alone.
So the answer is we all get a TV screen. It's put on the it's put on the back of the seat in front of us, and we all watch it in real time.
We either go down the big screen route, Steve, of you know, in every single stadium, and Liverpool are not one that have a TV screen for replays or any incidents that occur. And I know the Premier League are quite they're quite anxious to keep it that way, aren't they? And the fact that they don't want contentious issues replayed on big screens because they think it's inflammatory in terms of the situation for the crowd, for home and away supporters. Well, if VAR continues in the same vein, we're going to have to go down that route and be able to see what the referees are seeing and communicate that with fans, and maybe we go down the route of being able to hear what the referee is stating, as happens in rugby union and rugby league to a certain degree.
I don't know about the big screen. They couldn't get the scoreboard right.
The
score changed about six times. It was 2-2 on the scoreboard at one stage.
I mean, it was farcical, and it was more about the communication and the length of time that these decisions were taken that really is going to work, you know, fans and managers for that sense. But, you know, my understanding is that it's going to go ahead. We're so far down the line. It's going to be used in the World Cup. So, you know, it really does need fine-tuning, doesn't it, to say the least.
There's a sports science angle to this as well. Alan Pardew was talking afterwards, and he said... The big decision for us was the 4 minutes for the Salah penalty, because you're going from a high-tempo work rate to nothing. Mm. We had a hamstring injury just after that, so he's essentially blaming an injury to one of his players on the 4 minutes, which they stopped because of VAR.
So what we have to have now, Steve, is the physios and trainers and coaches coming onto the field while there's a stoppage in play to keep the players warm and go through the warm-up routines that they carry out essentially before the game gets underway. It really is it's a bit farcical, isn't it? And you can understand Firmino as well. He had to wait 5 minutes to take a penalty, which yet again Liverpool miss. Is it 6 out of 10 they've missed this season? It's absolutely ridiculous.
Did you not expect him to miss it? Because I did.
Yes. Oh yeah.
It just felt like one of those moments. He's not going to score this.
Yeah. I think there were many in the crowd who, you know, had got to that stage where it was almost a bit of apathy. Oh well, here we go. You know, it's another Liverpool penalty that's going to be missed, and you know, the VAR system has interfered with it. And the situation with VAR, just one more point on it from my perspective. There was an incident in the second half that the referee went to VAR for some bizarre reason when there was 6 West Brom players in an offside position and the ball was headed into the net. It might have been Craig Dawson who headed it beyond Mignolet. I think the flag had been raised for offside. It looked like there'd been a foul on Mignolet anyway. The ball ended up in the net. But there were 6 West Brom players offside, particularly the player who headed the ball and maybe fouled the keeper. And it was clearly offside, but the referee still communicated with the official in London. I think it was Andre Mariner, wasn't it, who was making the decisions off the TV screen. It just seemed bizarre that he had to do that. You know, if you're going to query every single decision, then really the whole system needs to be reviewed, doesn't it? Because I thought it was for clear goals that had been disallowed, or for clear offside decisions that could be rectified via a TV screen.
The referee's got to be left with some responsibility, hasn't he? You can't just defer everything.
Well, people often said, you know, let's not have VAR. We want something to talk about afterwards. You know, we want to get back to the pub and, you know, debate whether it should have been a goal or not with our mates, etc. Well, there was still plenty to debate on Saturday night if fans got back in time to go to the pub, given the stoppage time that that we might have to endure in these situations.
Right, just take us quickly forward to Everton's game midweek against Leicester. They've got 2 very tricky encounters. By the time they get to Arsenal, they might have Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
Yes, yeah.
Aubameyang,
yeah.
But this Leicester game looks tricky as a starting point.
Yeah, I think the advantage to Everton, Steve, I think I pointed this out last time, probably the first time that Sam Allardyce had 10 days with his squad to really work on them and go through the routines that he wants to see carried out on the pitch. He's probably worked even harder on, you know, defensive aspects of the game, which have let Everton down of late, maybe in a specific area of the pitch. A lot of people have been harping on about left-back and how Everton need another one. Can they cure the ills that have seen them lose games from that position recently? So I think it is a tricky game. They've got to cope with the pace of Jamie Vardy, the ability of Riyad Mahrez, and a Leicester side that are riding high since Claude Puel took over. I think that they will probably come to the game seeing themselves as favourites to take something from Goodison Park against an Everton side who are low on confidence and belief more than anything else. And I think an early goal for Everton would be fairly crucial. They've conceded the opening goal on so many occasions this season that they've always been fighting to get back into games.
Of course, our listeners will be very familiar with you and your transfer attire. The window shuts this week. Anything happening Everton-wise? Do we expect anything at all?
I think that Sam Allardyce is certainly still looking to offload players, Steve, and I do believe he's still trying to bring in a left-sided defensive player. So there may be some last-minute moves on Merseyside from the Blue perspective. Don't think we're, you know, really going to see much happening across the park at Anfield. But I think from the Everton perspective, I think that would probably be maybe one player in that regard. And you may see 3 or 4 actually making moves away from Goodison, you know, when we're looking at players that have been on the periphery of things. Mo Besic, for one, probably will want to get out of the club because he's not getting a look in. So there are a number like that, and there has been rumours of Ademola Lookman going out on loan, which I think would be a derogatory move for him and the club, really. I think he can play a part.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.